You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
May 13, 2020. I told you the other day, and I'm sure you had your own suspicions, you wait to see the House version of their latest coronavirus stimulus bill, and you will find in it numerous, multiple opportunities that they continue to push for everything under the sun. I mean, whatever they can cram in there, they're going to. These are all of their wish list items. They couldn't get into the first two stimulus bills, and so now they're back. And this one, originating in the House, in fact, Nancy Pelosi delivering it today to the House, and they expect to vote on it today. Whoop-a-doo, you think a lot of debate? Don't count on any big debate. And, of course, the House controlled by Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats means it's going to push right through. It won't get through the Senate, but it's not at the way it's presented anyway, but it will certainly be signed off by Democrats because it includes all of their policy wish lists for the Dems and all the progressives. 70 appropriations in excess of $1 billion each. Total $3 trillion. $3 trillion. 1,800 pages. And they're calling it, they're putting a good label on it because they want to get some good out of it. They're calling it the Heroes Act. Well, come on. Who can't be for heroes? I'm for heroes. Come on. But this is a misnomer. This is false advertising. This is Pelosi and her Dems doing their usual tricks. This is going to be for our heroes across the nation, the Heroes Act. Also, a lot of us leftists who want things done differently, to change this nation fundamentally, to make it better in the way we think it should be. Less free enterprise, more government, more people tied to the government teat, so they cannot get free. We're going to get into that in more detail over the next 2 hours. And, of course, another major story you cannot ignore, and we started in on it yesterday, and that is the Judge Emmett Sullivan deciding that he wanted to open the door for any legal experts and other outside parties to oppose what the Justice Department presented in a motion. The Justice Department said we're dropping the case against former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. It was improperly investigated, never was a real case. Even though he pled guilty, there was no such investigation to base the entire case on, so we're kicking it out. But this judge, making it clear where his alliances lie, Judge Emmett Sullivan, saying, I want to open the door for anyone that wants to come in and argue against me giving the DOJ what it wanted. In other words, he wants everyone on the left to line up, come in and say why, Flynn, the case should not be dropped and why you should go forward with prosecution. No surprise there, right? We're going to get into that as well. I'm telling you, we've got a lot lined up for you, including what's been happening in the New York area, some things interesting, and in specifics, what Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, did to jeopardize more lives in nursing homes, and he had a standing order that was causing that threat. And now, a push for an investigation. We're also going to be joined a little bit later by Dr. Rick Layman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, some of his views on some of the things we're seeing happen with coronavirus at this point. And take note of this, take note of this. Of course, the Dems were all so excited while jails across the nation were being opened up, normally in blue counties and blue states, saying, well, let's let some prisoners go so they won't get COVID-19. Did you hear the latest one being released, this one being released? Paul Manafort, former chairman of President Donald Trump's 2016 campaign. He's being released from jail. This is not what the left had in mind. Don't let Manafort out. But he's being released on the basis to protect him from the Chinese coronavirus pandemic. He's to serve the rest of his sentence at his home due to health concerns. And I will tell you, the left does not like that at all. It's all good about letting the others go from jail, but not Manafort. Hey, listen, we got a lot to cover for you. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
All right, here's your red meat for all of you out there. The red meat, when the lion roars, you know we've got something for you to chew on. Let's begin with this Democrat proposal. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi unveiling her $3 trillion Phase 4 coronavirus bill. She just sent it to the House Tuesday. They're expecting a vote on it. Well, whoopee-doo. How about that? They expect a vote on it right away because they're not going to have any real debate. Not going to do it at all. We're waiting to see exactly where they go from here. But let's take a look. Let's take a look at some of this stuff. Now, if you, depending on the source you go to, as to how this is to be described, you will find not exactly a full disclosure on CNN and NN. For instance, they headline it saying, Democrat proposal includes new stimulus payments. In other words, gather around, children. We've got more money for you. House Democrats want to send Americans a second round of stimulus checks worth up to $6,000 per family. Look, who wouldn't want $6,000 extra dollars for their family? But the strings that are tied to it with all the rest of this stuff, and what is the intent? They've also been proposing 1 year rent-free for anyone renting. Unless they're in one of those major corporations. I mean, I should say one of the major apartment units run by groups across the nation. And they're trying to work out something there, too. But here's the deal. Every time you offer something free to folks, it looks good. This is Nancy Pelosi pulling ice cream out of her freezer and offering it to everyone. Who doesn't want ice cream? Yeah, I don't really like that flavor, but, you know, I'm going to go ahead and take it because I like ice cream overall. And I think that's what they're doing. And, again, they call it the Heroes Act. Here's the part that gives them some basis for the Heroes Act. establishing a $200 billion fund to provide hazard pay to essential workers who remained on the job during the pandemic. Now, that has not been included in the previous packages. Okay, let's give those essential workers who were on there, give them some additional pay. They were working. They were on the front line. But they also want to extend enhancement of unemployment benefits. And there's a plus minus to this, because it's going to take a while to get the economy back up once we really start opening up. And we're a long ways from some states even beginning to. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But at this point, the proposal is to extend the weekly $600 federal payment through it's going to end through July right now. They want to extend it through January. Well, for those of you out there who've lost a job because of the shutdown, and you're relying on that until we get jobs going for you again, I want to make sure you're taken care of, because this is not your making. It wasn't your company's making. It was not President Trump's making. It is not to be blamed on anyone politically, unless you want to put China in the political ball, and I'm willing to do that. But again, this is providing another opportunity for the leftists to come forward. And inside this, many leftist provisions, $755 million for the government for Washington, D.C. Give D.C. another $755 million. $10 million for the National Endowment for the Arts. $10 million for the National Endowment for the Humanities. What does that have to do with stimulating the economy? Not really anything. And by the way, they want to eliminate the limitations on federal deduction for state and local taxes. The SALT Act, S-A-L-T. Remember, Republicans put that in effect through the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. The point being that you should not be able to deduct all your state and local taxes before you deal with your Fed tax up to a limit. And of course, the wealthy, largely Democrat states were hurt immediately. Because if homeowners can't deduct as much as they can prior to that act, then they're either going to move or they're going to cry out, and those states are going without some extra money. And they're also granting additional aid for state and local government bailouts. $500 billion in funding for state government relief, $375 billion aid to local governments, state Senate Republicans, I should say, Senator Rick Scott, Ted Cruz of Texas, Scott of Florida, saying this is going to particularly help those fiscally irresponsible blue states as California, New York, and Illinois. The rest of us are paying for their bad. And they want to add money for migrant seasonal workers, $1.7 billion for historically black colleges. Again, has nothing to do with stimulus right now. Oh, and they want to add a two-month special enrollment period for Obamacare. They're not going to let that die. Mandatory early voting for every state. Mandatory mail-in ballots for every state. Now, again, that has nothing to do with the stimulus. That is, again, their effort to try to get inside to go to mail-in voting where you can have it ripe with voter fraud. And extending assistance for nonprofits to political action groups. Sure, why not? Anyway, that's a look at that. And of course, as you know, yesterday, Dr. Anthony Fauci and others were testifying on a Senate hearing about where we are on coronavirus. You've got all the money efforts over here going on, and at the same time, where are we actually doing in the fight? And they were doing it by remote so they could maintain proper social distancing. Let's begin with a question posed by Senator Bernie Sanders, and this has to do with the entire issue, how these model numbers are up and down, and, you know, we're going to expect maybe 300,000 dead in this nation. And then it comes down, then it goes back up. Anyway, let's begin with Senator Sanders' question to Dr. Fauci.
The official statistic, Dr. Fauci, is that 80,000 Americans have died from the pandemic. There are some epidemiologists who suggest the number may be 50% higher than that. What do you think?
I'm not sure, Senator Sanders, if it's going to be 50% higher, but most of us feel that the number of deaths are likely higher than that number, because given the situation, particularly in New York City, when they were really strapped with a very serious challenge to their healthcare system, that there may have been people who died at home who did have COVID, who were not counted as COVID because they never really got to the hospital. So in direct answer to your question, I think you are correct that the number is likely higher. I don't know exactly what percent higher, but almost certainly it's higher.
Well, of course, we're at 80,000 or so right now. Yeah, I failed to give you our daily update on that a moment ago, and I should have done that for you. Worldwide infections, 4.3 million. Deaths worldwide, 295,000. In the U.S., 1.4 million infections, 83,000 confirmed deaths of COVID. 83,000. But the projections, the models, well, Senator Rand Paul, Kentucky, Republican, began to question that and basically say we don't know what we don't know.
I don't think any of us are certain when we do all these modelings. There have been more people wrong with modeling than right. We're opening up a lot of economies around the U.S., and I hope that people who are predicting doom and gloom and saying, oh, we can't do this, there's going to be a surge, will admit that they were wrong if there isn't a surge, because I think that's what's going to happen. In rural states, we never really reached any sort of pandemic levels in Kentucky and other states. We have less deaths in Kentucky than we have in a flu season. It's not to say this isn't deadly, but really outside of New England, we've had a relatively benign course for this virus nationwide.
I saw a graphic that had the U.S. and Hawaii attached to the map, and it said there are three colors on this map. Each represents a third of the coronavirus cases reported, either as infections or deaths. The Hawaii was all green. 99+% of the U.S., continental U.S., all green. The two colors of yellow and red for the most infections and most deaths are right up in the Northeast, right New York, New Jersey area. In other words, those are where you've had, New York has had more than 20,000 of that 80+ thousand we told you a moment ago. And so for the most of the nation, we're not seeing anything different than a normal influenza year. Senator Rand Paul is saying, I think that we're having a national one-size-fits-all approach. Nobody going to school is ridiculous. We ought to be doing it school district by school district. Power needs to be dispersed because people make wrong decisions. And then he made this point about Dr. Fauci.
As much as I respect you, Dr. Fauci, I don't think you're the end all. I don't think you're the one person that gets to make a decision. We can listen to your advice, but there are people on the other side saying there's not going to be a surge and that we can safely open the economy, and the facts will bear this out. But if we keep kids out of school for another year, what's going to happen is the poor and underprivileged kids who don't have a parent that's able to teach them at home are not going to learn for a full year. And I think we ought to look at the Swedish model, and we ought to look at letting our kids get back to school. I think it's a huge mistake if we don't open the schools in the fall.
Senator Paul, thank you for your comments. I have never made myself out to be the end-all and only voice in this. I'm a scientist, a physician, and a public health official. I give advice according to the best scientific evidence. There are a number of other people who come into that and give advice that are more related to the things that you spoke about the need to get the country back open again and economically. I don't give advice about economic things. I don't give advice about anything other than public health.
However, his pronouncements turn into political fodder. And that's what's happened across the nation. That's why so many are incensed. Why we continue this lockdown to the extent we are? And, of course, the Democrats, I've told you previously, they want you to suffer. To suffer. You and the economy suffer as long as possible. And put it all on the back of Donald Trump. They want you to go to the poll come November, barely able to have enough money to pay for the gas to get there, or maybe not even have the money to stay home. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Democrat, California, said those lockdown protesters and President Trump should be ashamed for trying to pressure governments to reopen their states. She says, you know, our governors are under great stress. Protests have been organized, trying to intimidate governors to open up everything. People participating what they should be ashamed of. They should not be encouraged in any way. They should not be encouraged for the top leadership of this country to go out and do that. She said, I don't know the pressure is on. I know you're trying to hold the line. I want you to hold the line. I don't want to see these establishments open back up. She doesn't care if those mom-and-pop stores ever open again, because she's got a plan from the government to take care of them and make them happy and everyone else. That's the idea. They don't care about opening up. And you know, L.A. County now making a decision. Its stay-at-home order, listen to this, may drag on through July or maybe even through August. Now, Governor Newsom had extended it last month through May 15th. That's 2 days away. And he says, I'm going to give counties the authority to loosen restrictions and allow some shopping malls to reopen with curbside pickup. But L.A. County, the most populous in the nation, while it's eased some restrictions allowing different things, they're basically saying the stay-at-home order itself may drag on through July or August. Dr. Fauci said something a moment ago in that interview and talking to Senator Sanders in an answer about those not being counted and that we might have undercounted a lot of deaths. I want to take a closer look at that. Let's take a quick break, and we'll focus on that issue. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, bass.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
All right, so in the previous segment, you heard a part of a clip from Dr. Fauci responding to Senator Sanders as he was testifying by remote for this Senate hearing yesterday on what we're doing about coronavirus. Senator Sanders was questioning, you know, we've seen numbers like 80,000. Is that too low, too high? And some are predicting it could be 50% higher. And Dr. Fauci said, well, I don't know if it's going to be 50% higher, but it's definitely going to be higher. But here's something he dropped into that conversation I want to focus on for a moment, because something he said indicates two things. One, we have a lot of deaths that have not been properly reported as COVID. In other words, they have not been linked to COVID. But I'll tell you right now, the other side is, I'm willing to bet we got a lot of cases labeled COVID when they weren't COVID. Let's go first to Dr. Fauci and his remarks yesterday as to why he believes deaths will be higher than the number we currently see.
Given the situation, particularly in New York City, when they were really strapped with a very serious challenge to their healthcare system, that there may have been people who died at home who did have COVID, who were not counted as COVID because they never really got to the hospital.
That's certainly possible. But we also know that if a hospital handles a COVID patient, they get an extra $13,000 or so for doing so. And if they had to put them on an incubator or things of that nature, then they could get another $30,000. Not an incubator, a respirator, what I'm saying. But the point being, that could be true, that we have some that have not been properly counted. But the other side is, yeah, we have several that were counted properly and now maybe being counted twice. And in some cases, if they went in with a heart problem or lung problem, that they're in there, they just label them COVID-19 just to do it. New York state has had a difficult time of 5,300 confirmed or presumed coronavirus deaths, all inside nursing homes. That is because the governor of the state had made an order insisting nursing homes were barred from turning away admissions or readmissions, even if the patient tested positive for coronavirus. In other words, if they were released from the hospital and they had COVID-19, they were elderly, they wanted to go to a nursing home, by law and directive of the governor, they could not go in there. Nursing homes say they could say, no, we're not taking you. Like Cuomo sensed and said, look, that was simply to prevent discrimination. Nursing homes have always had the right and, in fact, the duty to ask the state to help place those applicants. But that's not what they were told then. They were just told, you have to allow them inside. And therefore, those with COVID-19 or possible or are now inside a nursing home, more vulnerable patients, more folks likely to get it and die. In fact, one alderman says that is probably the deadliest decision ever made in New York State history. The deadliest decision ever made. Telling nursing homes you've got to take COVID patients. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Dr. Rick Lehman from the U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure you have some alarms to let you know if someone breaks into your home. But what happens if your home is invaded by creatures? Six legs, eight legs, maybe more. Rottler Pest Solutions can help keep those pests out of your house. And if they're already inside, get them out. In fact, you can get a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate to protect your home. You can get that at any time. Go online to Rottler.com. Rottler.com, schedule your free inspection today. Rottler is the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri. 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rottler has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they will make it right or your money back. You know, I first called Rottler more than 40 years ago, so I know they will take good care of you. I continue to trust Rottler. Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com, Rottler.com.
Oh, oh, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Got me down in Mississippi where I don't want to be.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, and we've got online now, not quite yet, still waiting to make contact. All right, we'll get to him in just a moment. Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. But again, this case out of New York, I mentioned a moment ago, Governor Cuomo and that policy he had up until Sunday, decreeing that hospital patients can be sent into a nursing home even if they've been testing positive for coronavirus or possible. In other words, stack them into the nursing home. Sure, where everyone else is elderly and possibly vulnerable to begin with. And because of that, out of 20-plus thousand killed across the state of New York from COVID-19, 5,300-plus died in nursing homes. They were breeding grounds for death. Joining us now, Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Glad to have you on board again, Doc.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Fine. Let me get your reaction, first of all, to that rule that they had in New York that nursing homes could not turn away anyone that might have tested positive for COVID-19. Just put them somewhere in your facility.
Well, you know, that was a disaster decision. And if you think about it, you've got all the bad factors, right? You got sick people, you've got close quarters, and you have no way to treat them. I mean, a nursing home is not really a treatment facility, so you couldn't think of a worse situation. You know, dry tinder and a match. I mean, and that's what you had there. So, again, I just think that was just a horrible medical decision.
Well, now they say, let me put it this way, and I don't know the exact state law, but and I'm not trying to put you on the spot for it, but the governor is insisting, oh, well, even though he reversed that rule, that directive, he said, well, they've always had the nursing homes always had the right, in fact, the duty to ask a state for helping place applicants that they can't care for elsewhere. Do you know if that's a universal for nursing homes can go to the state for help? Are you familiar with any of that? I'm not.
That's not the rule of Missouri, and I've never heard that. And I'm not 100% sure that that's even the law in New York. But initially what happened was, you know, that was a place to send people and get people kind of out of the hospital. But again, in Missouri, that's not the case. And nursing homes are not going to take people, because nursing homes generally are private. And even the state-run nursing homes generally are full. And just to load people in there and, again, double up and have people with COVID in close quarters, and, again, no way to treat them, because nursing homes are not treatment facilities. I was shocked when the dictum came down and I read it in the paper and I said, this isn't going to end well.
Yeah, in fact, one of the aldermen up there is saying it's probably the deadliest decision ever made in New York State history. And they're now asking for a federal investigation into the directive and what happened. So yesterday, Dr. Fauci was testifying via remote to Senate members. And one of the questions posed by Senator Sanders was, you know, we've been seeing these model projections, maybe up to 80,000, and do you think, and he said, and Sanders is saying, and I've been told that we've underreported a lot, that it could be up to 50% more before it's all over with. And Fauci said, I don't know if it's going to be 50%, but the death count will be more than what we're showing now, which I don't doubt. But what is your feeling on the point of that we have these deaths are going to continue, it's not going to go away, while we're trying to open up the nation? And that's what they're trying to pin everything on. You got to stay closed until this is beat. Go ahead.
Well, so is the rule going to be that until we have no cases, or we have one case, that we're going to keep the economy closed? And what about the 30 or 35 million unemployed people and their kids that aren't eating? So I think you have two things going on here. You've got a compromised population, right? Older people, maybe they're obese, maybe they're diabetic, maybe they have restrictive lung disease, and their mortality is high regardless of what they get. Mortality is high if they get regular influenza, if they get a bronchial pneumonia, etc. Those people are going to do poorly. And I think to close the economy based on the fact that those people are going to continue to be at risk, in my opinion, is ridiculous. I just don't see that by stamping out every last case of COVID, then we can open the economy when we have millions and millions and millions of people and families at risk for other issues, PTSD, starvation, etc. So my opinion is you open up the economy, the people that are sick, you should definitely shelter in place and protect them, you know, older people, people that are immunocompromised. And I think the rest of us that are fairly healthy and are not having a problem should go open up the economy. And I don't see that you're in my world, day in and day out, I don't see a lot of people that have a problem with this virus. Now, again, a nursing home, people that are sick, people, you know, that have predispositions, yes, I agree. But, again, I think it's time to open up the economy. You're going to have those deaths regardless.
And the part of the fact that goes with that is that just because a business opens and so forth, no one is telling you have to leave your home. If you're safer, you believe in your home, and you don't want to go out for another month, no one says you have to. Unless, of course, I guess your employer says, we're opening up, we need you to come to work. That's going to be a different decision.
Yeah, but that's exactly right. I mean, if you make a decision and say, look, I feel safer at home, and I want to shelter in place, you know, I think that's your decision. I don't want to go to a restaurant. I don't want to go to the gym. And you can make that decision individually. But I think that if you take the general population, you know, the average person that's, let's say, 65 or 70 and younger, who doesn't have diabetes and hasn't been on cancer drugs, et cetera, I think the incidence of having a problem with this virus is very, very low. Now, they always point to the 50 or 75 kids that got this Kawasaki-type disease, and I don't know that that's related, but, you know, that's still 75 people out of a country of 350 million. I mean, you know, that's how many people die of heroin overdose in Missouri every day. So, again, I think this whole fear-mongering and this tactic is not helping anybody. It's not helping the country, and it's not helping all. No one's worried about the 35 million people that are out of work, that they can't figure out a way how to pay the rent. Those are the people we got to be worried about, not the 80,000 that died.
Well, actually,
we're worried about the 350 million.
Actually, Maxine Waters has a plan for those who can't pay their rent. Maxine Waters said, "I want the federal government to join with cities and states, support these families. I want a moratorium on rent evictions, and I have a huge bill to help pay the landlords." In other words, we don't want tenants have to pay landlords for a year. We're going to provide them money to do so. In other words, let's give them a free rent money, and we'll take care of the landlords with federal dollars.
Okay, and so now the deficit's $30 trillion, then it's going to be $40 trillion, and pretty soon, you know, we just default on the debt or the country goes bankrupt? I mean, this whole idea of increasing the deficit, trillions and trillions of dollars for this process, is going to come back to bite us. This money isn't free. Everyone thinks this money is free. This money's not free. And you're going to end up paying it. I'm going to end up paying it. Our kids and grandkids are going to end up paying it. So believe me, this idea that we're just going to fund this thing through the roof, and I'm a little disappointed in the president for some of these funding programs. I think they're excessive.
I think some are. And, of course, there'll be an accounting at some point. But and then we'll look back, I think, in the future and say, we really went overboard. But, of course, the fear is if you hadn't, look what would happen. Now, the L.A. County, by the way, is saying it's likely to extend its stay-at-home order. They've opened up certain businesses and beaches and closed them again. Now they got golf courses, car dealers, some retail shops resuming operations in some areas. But in L.A. County, they're basically saying we might continue stay-at-home order through July or August.
Yeah, and again, you know, I think that's total disrespect for the people that need to work and the people that need to feed their families. Now, you know, people are saying, well, there's unemployment and there's government assistance and there's these programs, and that's correct, but everybody doesn't qualify, number one. And number two, I think we're setting up a situation where we're going to end up in an economic depression and really the unemployment rate. I mean, it's fine for the 8 or 10 weeks when you're able to support these people. Then now 8 or 10 weeks are up and there isn't any money. It's kind of like Greece. And now all of a sudden everybody's out of work. Unemployment's whatever, 20-25%. You have an economic depression, and the government doesn't have any more money to fund these people. Then what are you going to do? You know what you're going to do? Those people are going to starve, and that's really the issue that we have to be a little bit foreshadowing here.
Let me. I want to quickly in the last minute, so get a quick summation from you. I know we discussed it before. Hospitals are getting extra money if they treat a COVID patient, and then if they have to use a respirator, they get additional funding. Is that correct?
That's right, $13,000 for the COVID. Well, you get $13,000 to put COVID on the death certificate. You get $39,000 if somebody goes in the hospital and gets put on a respirator.
The hospitals get paid that if they list COVID-19 as cause of death.
$13,000, that's correct.
Does that say there's an opening here to increase the numbers?
Well, I mean, you heard the two Bakersfield doctors, and they said they had a lot of pressure to put COVID-19 on the death certificate,
right?
Because that's where the government, you know, that's what the government wants done. And I think probably the number of people dying of COVID are grossly overrepresented, because I think a lot of people, instead of testing and saying, oh, he died of heart disease or he died of bronchial pneumonia or whatever, because, you know, if you're 85 years old, you know, you're going to die of something, then I think there were these issues that some of these death certificates were incorrectly marked, and I think that's been proven over and over again.
All right. Dr. Rick Lehman, again, we appreciate it. Thank you very much for your insight, sir.
Take care.
You bet. Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. We'll take a break. When we come back, he mentioned something about how you're going to end up paying for all this one way or the other, you, your children, or grandchildren. Someone shared a personal story with me I want to share with you. That's still to come. Before we wrap up this hour.
Break.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So I had someone tell me about someone who was working at their house. The guy has a kind of a yard service operation. So it's, you know, it's not one of the bigger ones, not one of the smallest. Got a few workers for him. And he was talking to the homeowner while they were doing all of this, and somehow or another they got to discussing the stimulus checks. And the guy that's in charge, you know, that owns this little yard service, was there doing some of the work too, because, you know, he's helps if saves money if he's helping do some of the work. And he said, yeah, I got my check. I sent it back. You sent it back? Yeah, I sent it back. He said, I'm doing fine. I said, I know my workers are doing fine. I paid them well. They're getting jobs. They're getting money. And I encourage them all to send it back. He said, I don't know if they did. They can do what they want. But I sent mine back because I don't want it, because I don't want to take it knowing that my children, our grandchildren, are going to have to pay for that thing because it's got to be paid somewhere down the line. What about you? If you got it, were you sending it back or are you going to go ahead and take it? I mean, I wanted to tell you that I think he should have gone ahead and kept it, because putting it back to the government, it just gets lost. It meant nothing. I mean, it wasn't even a microbe in the midst of everything. I would have at least taken the money and then give it to a charity group or something like that he wanted to. I'd much rather see him do that, but that was his decision. His mindset, though, I certainly agree with. The more this money and these checks just handed out like that, somebody's got to pay for it. There is no such thing as a free lunch. So when Maxine Waters and other progressives are saying, well, we're going to make sure you don't have to pay rent for a year, where everybody that's renting said, yeah, I'm all for that, sure. But the landlords, those who own the facility, well, hey, I got to pay taxes on this. I've got an investment, so forth. And they say, well, we're going to give you some money to make up for it. And, of course, then you get into mortgages, the same thing all over again. Too many times, and the package that was sent in today, this $3 trillion package for Nancy Pelosi, so-called the HEROES Act, is simply to spend, and fund more and more leftist programs. I mentioned some of them earlier for you. In fact, there's assistance designed for nonprofits to political action groups and Chamber of Commerce associations. For what? South Carolina Congressman Ralph Norman stated, this bill has 70 appropriations in excess of $1 billion each. Each. He said, when you walk out of secret negotiations with an 1,800-page, $3 trillion bill that has no chance of becoming law, why is that portrayed as an accomplishment? And, of course, Nancy's holding up and saying, here, I got it. I have in this 1,800-page bill everything we need going forward. Some of it has some value. Some doesn't. Some of that passed on previous stimulus packages. Much of it had value, but then again, some other things got slipped in or not being properly monitored. So I certainly understand the taxpayer, the guy that owns that yard service, saying, I'm not going to take it because I don't need it. I can operate as I am, and I just don't think I want my children and grandchildren to pay for it. Well, of course, the news is they're going to pay for everyone else who got theirs. So, again, I'd say you probably should have taken it and given it to some charity group. We have what appears to be a congressional win for the Republicans out in California, picking up a district seat. In fact, they're trying to put pressure on the candidate on the Democrat side, Christy Smith. The National Republican Congressional Committee says that the Democrat House candidate should concede. The 25th Congressional District, in a special election held yesterday, the Republican Mike Garcia, a significant lead, 143,000 ballots counted, significant lead. But she's not conceding, and the left, of course, looking for a way to get around it. But we might have another Republican coming out of California. They may end up, as we go forward, and certainly for the November, when it comes to congressional seats, Senate seats, we should, as a nation, look at what's been going on here and who's been trying to keep us from advancing, and joyful that we've been hit by the virus, and joyful we've lost so many jobs. By the way, there's another survey that shows when you look at the swing state of Ohio and Texas, Democrats were hoping to turn them blue coming up in November. An Emerson College poll surveying voters in Ohio, Texas, California found Trump leading in both Ohio and Texas. Good. And do not forget, the election is not just presidential. It's critical. And if you don't want to see Nancy Pelosi up there anymore, at least as Speaker of the House, you make sure Republicans control the House. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into more detail on the Michael Flynn case as a federal judge decides, you know what? Anybody on the Clinton law team want to come in and argue this as to why I should not kick this case out? Is that justice, or is that looking for political action?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.